Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is our epistle reading from Romans, the 15th chapter, the first few verses and the last verse specifically. A number of years ago, researchers performed an experiment to see what effect hope has on those undergoing hardship. What they did was they took two sets of rats and placed them in two different tubs of water. The first set of rats were just left alone, and within an hour or so, they all had drowned. The second set of rats, though, were periodically lifted out of the water and then placed back in the water, and they were actually able to swim for more than 24 hours. Now, the researchers concluded that the second set of rats was able to survive for so long, not because they were given a rest now and then, but because they had hope. Hope that perhaps they'll be rescued permanently rather than just put right back into the water. Now, if hope holds such power for a rat which has a brain about that big, I know because I used to do research on rat brains. Imagine what hope does for the life of the Christian, one who puts his trust in the promises of God. In our epistle reading for today, the Apostle Paul gives us the basis for hope when he writes, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope." Now, throughout the Old Testament era, God always preserved a remnant of faithful believers. Believers who trusted his promise. Yahweh's promise that he would send a Messiah to save them from their sins, that he would send a rescuer. One of those promises that kept hope alive in the midst of these faithful people of God could be found in today's Old Testament reading from Malachi. "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord." And God did act. You see, the Christmas season is called the season of hope because in this season, the hopes of God's people were fulfilled. Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, has risen and he has brought healing. And he will come again to bring rescue. So the first candle that we lit on our Advent wreath last week is called the Candle of Hope, an appropriate way to kick off the Christmas season. Mind you, that hymn that we sing, that wonderful Christmas carol about Bethlehem. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Now in our epistle reading, though, Paul binds faith and hope together. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." Now, faith is that organ of salvation that receives the promises of God fulfilled in Christ Jesus and trusts in those promises. And faith gives birth to hope. And hope is that power from God that gives you the power to endure in this one true faith unto life everlasting, because by faith you know that God is trustworthy, that he keeps his promise. His promise to forgive your sins for Christ's sake, his promise to bring you home to be with him forever and ever. By faith, you trust what God's word says about you. It says that you are a sinner, lost in your trespasses and sin. But also by faith, you trust what God's word also says about Christ, that out of God's great love for every sinner, he sent his Son into flesh and blood to rescue you and to give you life eternal. So faith above all is that trust that Jesus died on the cross, not only for the world, but specifically for you. However, though, once you have taken hold of Christ by faith, Once you have become a baptized believer, a member of God's kingdom, a friend of the Lord, you begun a struggle, a powerful, relentless struggle, a struggle against the enemies of God. Because once you become a friend of God, God's enemies are now your enemies. And what are those enemies? Your own sinful nature, the world, and the devil. And see, once you recognize the struggle, that you're in the midst of a mighty struggle, that the devil is against you and is going to do everything he can to destroy you, that's when hope kicks in. Hope tells you that although you struggle against your sinful nature, against this world, against the devil, and although you fail many times to live as people of God, you have this hope. You have this hope that says, don't despair. For Christ came for sinners. And there is laid up for you a perfect righteousness in Christ. A righteousness that washes away all your sins. A righteousness that will be fulfilled on the day of judgment. So hope gives you the power to endure in the faith while you wait and struggle and fail. And God lifts you up again, time and time, until that time he lifts you forever in paradise. Now, Martin Luther had a wonderful short article on faith and hope in his article on his commentary to Galatians. He says this, here the question arises, what the difference is between faith and hope, and I'd like to read this to you. Therefore, faith and hope differ first in their subjects, because faith is in the intellect and hope is in the will, yet they cannot be separated in fact. Just as the two cherubim on the mercy seat cannot be separated. In the second place, they differ in their function, for faith commands and directs the intellect, although not apart from the will, and teaches what must be believed. Therefore, faith is teaching or knowledge. Hope is exhortation, because it arouses the mind to be brave and resolute, so that it dares, endures, and lasts in the midst of evils and looks for better things. Furthermore, faith is a theologian and a judge, battling against errors and heresies and judging spirits and doctrines. On the other hand, hope is a captain, battling against feelings such as tribulation, the cross, impatience, sadness, faint-heartedness, despair, and blasphemy. And it battles with joy and courage, etc., in opposition to those great evils. Finally, they differ in their objects. As its objects, faith has truth, and it teaches us to cling to this surely and firmly. It looks to the word of the object, that is, the promise. Hope is goodness as its object. And it looks to the object of the word, that is, to the thing promised, or the things to be hoped for, which faith has ordered us to accept. Faith and hope are bound. They're bound together. Why? Because hope is based on faith. And faith is based upon God's word, on the fact that God is faithful to his word. He keeps his promises. But what if there were no virgin conception and birth? What if there was no baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger? What if there was no manger filled with the love of God? What if the Bible isn't true? What would happen to faith and then to hope? Well, think about it for a minute. If God's word isn't true, there can be no faith, right? Because there's no truth to believe in. How many of you believe in your politicians? You don't trust them because they don't tell the truth. And without faith, there's no hope. Because then that would mean that God can't be trusted. And if God can't be trusted, then why bother enduring to the end? Perhaps that's why you see such a dramatic increase in depression and despair and suicide during the Christmas season. As people who have no hope feel that despair all the more during the season when we sing and talk of so much hope. But if God's word isn't true, how can you trust the words of the song that the Lord gave to give his people hope? Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. Then add to this also the tragic irony, what I call a tragic irony. Those Christians who want to deny the truth of Holy Scripture so they can have peace with the world. Not only do they destroy the basis of faith, but they also take away hope. There are Christians today who deny the virgin birth, well, because it's not scientific. Well, if that's true, then the baby that Mary wrapped in swaddling clothes is just an ordinary little boy. He's no Messiah. Just another kid born in Palestine 2,000 years ago. And there are Christians who deny the resurrection, and yet they want to celebrate Christmas and Easter. Why? By preparing for the first coming of Jesus, you are also preparing for the second coming of Jesus. But if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, that means he's rotten, dead bones in the grave. He's not coming back. Why bother with Christmas or Easter? That's Paul's argument in 1 Corinthians. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Well, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then we're like that first set of rats in a tub. There is no rescuer. No salvation. Your situation is hopeless. You're under God's wrath. So, eat, drink, and be merry. Today you're blessed to receive the body and blood of Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Because Jesus says the bread and wine are his body and blood. But if the Bible isn't true, if you can't count on what God says, then how do you know that it is Christ's body and blood? How do you know your sins are forgiven? If the foundation is faulty, the building falls. If the Word of God is filled with untruths, how do you know any of it is true? How can it be trusted? If the basis of your faith is faulty, so is your hope. But what does Paul say in our text? He says, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul isn't speaking of a dead Christ, but of a living Christ, raised from the dead, one who lives and rules to all eternity. And as you can see then, Paul joins God to his word here. The God of endurance and encouragement gives you his word of encouragement and endurance. Your situation is not helpless. It is far from that. Because by binding himself to his word, God's very nature is found in his word. And that very nature is faithfulness, steadfastness. He does not change. And so his word is faithful, steadfast, and unchanging, which means you can count on his promises yesterday, today, and forever. Those promises have been fulfilled in that baby born of the Virgin Mary in that stable in Bethlehem. They have been fulfilled in that baby who grew up to be the God-man, the one who would allow himself to be nailed to the cross so that his blood could wash away your sins, and his resurrection would certainly mean the life for all who believe in him. And since God has always been faithful, faithful to his word and faithful to his people, there's no reason for you to believe that he won't be faithful in the future. God is faithful And he will always be faithful. And because he is faithful, not only do you have hope, but you abound in hope. Your hope overflows. Emily and Ashlyn, I got their attention. They both looked at me. I should use names more often. I knew a pastor in Pleasant Plains who, if I visited, he'd call on me. It's like, stop, Pastor Pritchard, stop. But today is a special day. Emily and Ashlyn, while the world has turned the Christmas season into a time of good feelings, a time of presents, and so forth, and in a way kind of tries to mask what is wrong with this world, you have been instructed in the Word of God. You have learned the truth of what God teaches. It is the foundation of your faith and your trust in Christ Jesus. It is your source of hope now and for eternity. The Word of God will never fail you. It will never let you down. That's because God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And Christ has promised that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will always be there to rescue you, to forgive your sins, and in every situation you face in life, to give you hope. What a great gift to have from Christ. Faith in him and hope for eternal life. And what a wonderful blessing that Paul gives to you, our confirmants. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Will the congregation please stand?